The topic of today's shiur is Hocheach Tochiach Es Amisecha, best practices for influencing others. What's the Torah halachic perspective? And I want to discuss three issues. Number one, what are the ideal conditions for Tochacha? Number two, what's the best method for Tochacha to influence other people? Number three, what are the limits of Tochacha? When shouldn't you rebuke? So, just to begin with, the Torah tells us in Parshas Kedoshim, in Perek Yutes, Pasuk Yud Zayin, Lo Sista Esachicha B'Vavecha, don't hate your friend in your heart, Hocheach Tochiach Es Amisecha, V'lo Tisavchei, you should rebuke your friend and don't bear a sin because of him. Now, the Gemara points out that Minayin, and this is the Gemara in Erech and Daf, Tezayim and Beis, Minayin L'Rov HaChaver Adar Maguna Shechayev Lo Chicha, how do you know that if you see in your friend something unseemly that you should rebuke him? And he quotes the pasuk, you should rebuke your friend. Hochicha v'lo kibel, if you rebuke him and he didn't accept, tochacha, minan sheyachzor v'yochichad, how do you know you should continue to rebuke him? Tam lomar tochiach, not just hocheach, but hocheach tochiach b'kol makom, we should continue. The double language indicates that you must continue to rebuke the person. Now, what are the ideal conditions for rebuking someone? So, Sefer Evan Shlema points out that there are two different types of mochichim, two different types of people who rebuke. Echad shemochich bidvarm kashim mvaza osa. One person speaks harshly and he embarrasses others. Aval kein ein devar miskablim. And therefore, his words aren't accepted. Aval achacha, but the wise person, ba bidvarm tovim v'nichumim umekarv l'Torah, you speak nicely and you and with words of comfort, and you bring people close to Torah, Kemoshe Kasu Ba'arod HaKohen, just like Arod HaKohen. Arod HaKohen was known as someone who was Oev Shalom Vrodev Shalom. He was someone who loved peace. So number one is that you need to, the ideal condition for Tochacha is that you try to influence others out of a sense of love, out of a sense of care and concern for the person. You want to help the person. And the second point, actually, that Evan Shlema writes, is that there are some people whose mochiach bidvarm kashim ve'eno omer eich letakin hama'aves, hamuvas. That there are those who rebuke someone with harsh words, and they don't explain how to fix the problem. They just say, you have this problem and that problem, but they don't provide any advice for a solution. But the wise person doesn't just provide the issue, but helps provide a solution, a path forward. So the first point is that the tochacha, the influence, the ideal condition is that if you're someone who wants to try to influence others, it should be motivated out of a sense of love, not because you hate the person, you're despised by what he does, but you're motivated out of a sense of love and care and concern for the other person, like Aaron HaKohen, and you speak in a soft-spoken way, and you're solution-oriented. Now, the Gemara in Erechin points out, quotes Rabbi Tarfon, who says, this is in the Erechin Daf Tezayin, he says, I'd be surprised, im yesh bedor hazeh shemakabel tochacha, if someone here knows how to accept tochacha. Why is that? Because im amar lo tol kise mi bein enecha, amar lo tol kor mi bein enecha. Because if one person says to another person, remove the splinter from between your eyes, the second person is going to say back to the first person, well, yeah, remove the beam between your eyes. In other words, if someone says, if I tell you that you have a small sin, remove the splinter between your eyes, you're going to say back to me, well, you committed even worse sins, remove the beam from your eyes. In other words, the person who rebukes should be try to be someone who the listener can't have any claims against the first person. The Gemara in Bava Basra, Daf Tesamad Beis, has a language of Kishot Atzmacha V'achak Kishot Acherim. First adore yourself, and then afterwards adore others. And I was act properly before requiring others to do so. So the ideal condition is also that the one who is trying to influence others should as best as possible to try to be beyond reproach. Obviously, it's difficult, but trying to be at the ideal conditions is that the one who's influencing is someone who has a wonderful character. So the listener doesn't come back and say, oh, who are you to tell me what to do? The Malbim, in his commentary on the Torah, where the Psukim talk about Hocheach Tochiach Es Amisecha, the Malbim points out that among the conditions of Tochacha is that the Mochiach should be Naki Michait, the one who rebukes should be clean from sin. And but he makes another point. Another point is she yia ha muchach muchan lekabel tochacha. Another point is that the one who's being rebuked should be prepared to accept the tochacha. I think the point is that you want to create a culture of accepting tochacha. In other words, first the condition is try to be motivated by love and be soft-spoken, solution-oriented. That should be your approach. You yourself should be someone, if you're trying to influence, you should try to be beyond reproach. And also, try to create a culture of accepting tochacha. Try to create a culture where the people around you will want to listen to what other people have to say to help them. There's a story of the Chidushi Harim. When the Chidushi Harim's grandson, the Sfas Emes, was about 12 years old, he stayed up all night learning Torah with a friend. And when dawn broke, they davened Shacharis at the earliest time, and they went to bed. A few hours later, the boys awoke and returned to the yeshiva when they encountered the Sfas Emes' grandfather, the Chidushi Harim. Now, the Chidushi Harim did not know that his grandson had stayed up all night studying, and he proceeded to rebuke his grandson for not having attended the regular Shacharis, the davening. He didn't know that he went to Dav Vesikin. The rebuke lasted for a few minutes, throughout which the Sfas Emes stood and listened attentively, not uttering a word. Now, when his grandfather had left, the Sfas Emes's friend expressed disbelief. Why don't you defend yourself against this unwarranted rebuke? So the Sfas Emes replied, "The reason is because it's not every day that I get such personalized feedback from my revered grandfather. I wasn't about to miss such an opportunity." In other words, you want to create a culture of listening. If you yourself are someone who's known to be someone who accepts rebuke, who looks forward to others helping you grow in your own Avodas Hashem, in your own Yirat Shemayim, so then if you create this culture of listening, then you're more likely to be effective in influencing others, because they'll also be more willing to listen. So that's, in general, the ideal conditions of tochacha. It should be motivated out of love. The goal should be you want to be solution-oriented. You yourself want to try to be beyond reproach, so the person can't turn back on you and say, "Who are you to tell me what to do?" And them. And then you want to create this culture of listening. And what's the method? What's the best method to rebuke someone? So one final point is that the Mishnah Pirkei Avos, forgot to mention this point, Mishnah Pirkei Avos, Perek Vav, Mishnah Hey and Vav, discusses 48 ways through which Torah is acquired, and one of them is Ohev Esatochach, someone who loves rebuke. So again, it's creating this culture of listening. Okay, let's talk about what's the best method of rebuking someone. The Sefer Chasidim in Simon Hay writes that v'chayv mochiach lochiach b'dvarv k'fi midosav shel ha-nochach, that the one who rebukes has to rebuke according to the characteristics of the one who's being rebuked. Im hu noach yochichene benachas, if he's someone who is sort of pleasant, then you rebuke him in a pleasant manner. Im hu kasha yochiach osu k'negen midosav, if someone is harsh, then you have to rebuke him according to the way it's that his character, and say in a way that he'll accept it. V'yam shalom mishalim, maybe you give him, you offer him parables, mishalim, stories, ways that he can understand the tochacha and accept the tochacha. Different people react differently. You might think that for yourself, this is the way you would like to hear rebuke, or this is the way you'd like to be influenced. You have to know each person and what's the most effective way that they will accept your tochacha. We want to try to avoid embarrassing. That the Gemara points out in Erechin Daf Tezayin Amud Beis, the Yochel Afil Mishtari Parav. You might think that in order to rebuke someone, you could even embarrass them to the point that their face turns color. So then it says, no, Tamalomar Loti Salav Chait. You shouldn't bear a sin because of him. In other words, giving the tochacha cannot. If you're trying to influence someone and rebuking someone or trying to tell someone what they're doing is wrong, you shouldn't cause them. It's forbidden to cause them to be embarrassed to the extent that their face changes colors. Now, are we ever allowed to if the person doesn't listen, are we ever allowed to embarrass someone such that they're going to do tshuva? So the Magid Avraham in Siman Tuf Reish Saif Gimel explains Vavera Sheba Seser Yuchena Beseser Uvavera Sheba Galo Yochichena Biyad Shelo Yischalo Shem Shabayim. He says that if someone's sitting in private, then you rebuke him in private. No need to make it public. However, if someone's publicly sitting and people are seeing it, and they might think this is okay, and so in that case, the Magen Avraham says, Yochichena Miyad, then you have to rebuke him right away, even if it's in public, if he's committing a sin in public. Why? Shelo Yischal Hashem Shemayim. So that will cause a lack of, you're going to stop this Chil Hashem, someone's publicly embarrassing someone's publicly committing a horrific sin, and there are a lot of people around, you need to try to stop that immediately if possible. The Rambam, in Hilchos Deos, Perek Vav Halacha Ches, makes an interesting distinction. It's a little troubling, though. The Rambam says you're not allowed to embarrass someone, and then he says, when you rebuke him, but Medvar Morim, when do we say these words? When does this apply, that you're not allowed to embarrass someone? Bidvarim Shebedam Lachavero, only in matters that are Bedam Lachavero, between man and his fellow Jew, then you can't embarrass someone. But when it comes to divrei shemayim, mitzvos bedom lamakom, if the person did not do tshuva, if he didn't repent when you rebuked him in private, machlim moso barabim, you can embarrass him publicly, mefarsim chato, you can publicize his sin. And you can abuse him and scorn him and curse him until he repents. Kemosha also called Vim Yisrael, just like all the prophets among Yisrael did. They rebuked Klal Yisrael in public for sins that were Benam Lamakom. This is a very troubling Rambam. The Rambam essentially says, for mitzvahs Benam Lachavero, you can never embarrass someone, but for mitzvahs Benam Lamakom, first try to rebuke them privately, and if they don't listen, so then you can try, then you can do it publicly if need be, just like the Nevi'im did. So number one, why is this, what's the purpose of this distinction? Why is that so? Why are we making the distinction between Benam Lachaveh and Benam Lamakom? And the Nevi'im, like, why would you, I might have said maybe the opposite. I might have said, if someone's harming another person, then I want to stop it. And if need be, if I see my friend that he is being mean to someone else and he's not stopping to be mean, Maybe I'm allowed to embarrass him because I want to help my friend who's being hurt by this person. If someone's committing a sin between him and God, so maybe then I'm not allowed to embarrass him. But to protect someone else, in the midst of lo samal dam riecha, you're not supposed to stand idly by where someone else is being abused or someone's being hurt. So why by beidam lachaveru am I not allowed to embarrass the person if that's the only way to stop him? That's a little difficult. And also, since when did the Nevi'im, and since when did the prophets only rebuke the Bnei Yisrael publicly on mitzvahs Bnei Amlamakom? They also, many of the prophets also rebuked the Bnei Yisrael on mitzvahs Bnei Amlachavero, that they weren't just, that they were corrupt, that they stole, that they murdered. They also rebuked the Bnei Yisrael publicly for mitzvahs Bnei Amlachavero. So the Minchas Chinuch, I think, is bothered by this point. And in Mitzvah Reish Mem, he says, "Dema shechilak Rambam v'arav machaber b'dvarim shebnei Amlachavero da'asher lachlimo." That which the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch distinguishes between embarrassing someone between embarrassing someone in public, whether it's a mitzvah b'nam l'makom, b'nam l'chaveiro, says dafka im ish chote l'chaveiro ein l'chaveiro l'vaisho. When the Rambam says that if someone commits a sin b'nam l'chaveiro, that you're not supposed to embarrass him, it's not all sins b'nam l'chaveiro. What it means is if someone commits a sin against you, then you're not allowed to embarrass him. You should be mochel on your kavod. In other words, if someone is not nice to me, so I should go up to him and rebuke him and explain to him why he wasn't nice, but do it in private. If he still doesn't listen, then I'm not allowed to embarrass him in public. I should be mochel. I should be mochel on what he did, and I shouldn't embarrass him. But any other sin, whether any other b'nam l'chaveru sin on someone else or b'nam l'makom, in that case I should try to rebuke the person privately. If he doesn't listen, so then I can do it publicly if need be. Of course, still the big proviso is if it's effective. It's not going to be effective, so that might be another story potentially. But the first point is try to avoid embarrassing if at all possible. Although, again, there's some circumstances when it's warranted. And another piece of advice in terms of the method, the Chafetz Chaim points out that when you speak to someone, that ledaber benachas im abrios, you should speak nicely. Ulizar mod min akas, try to avoid anger. Vafili dvar mitzvah, even for the sake of a mitzvah. Va'api shas tochacha, and even when you're rebuking him, yochiach bedvar mrakim v'nachas, should speak pleasantly. Kilu mochiach rabo, you should pretend that if you're speaking to someone, that this person is your Rebbe. Let's say, for example, your Rebbe does something wrong, you think it's wrong, and you want to point out to him. You're not going to say, you, why'd you do this, and speak harshly. You might say, Rebbe, I'm curious, because I saw that you did X, I'm curious why you did that, because it was a little surprising, so can you please explain it? You know, in a way that's very benachas, that's how you should speak to anyone who commits what you think is a sin. Why is that? Because people's behaviors are closed. Not everyone knows what people are doing. And maybe this person who you're rebuking is actually much better than you. He may have more mitzvahs to his name that you're not aware of. But certainly if he's a Talmud Chacham. So number one is, the method is, we should pretend as if the person who we are rebuking is our Rebbe. When we ask him, so very nicely. That's the method, very nicely. And the Sefer Mishpatei Shalom says that va'emes hi, the Shim Shayach, and the truth is, if it's possible, odiv tamid la'odeidu l'chazek asamaylos v'atzara chiyuvi, that it's best always to emphasize, to strengthen the positive, v'la'halos al'atzara shlili klal, not to focus on the negative. And this is a proven way to build the good desires of the person. In other words, it might be preferable very often, instead of giving tochacha, rebuke, when someone is doing something bad, to point out, oh, you did this bad and that bad and the other bad, instead to focus when someone does something good, say, oh, that was amazing what you did. Keep it up. Sometimes the best tochacha, the best rebuke, is to emphasize the good that they did and to positively reinforce that, because someone may respond negatively when you criticize someone. It obviously depends on the person. But if the way to influence for the good is to focus on the good that they did, that's certainly better. There's a story where the Chafetz Chaim was, he saw that some of his students did not take davening that seriously. So he went to them. He said, you know, I struggle. You know, even I, you know, I struggle with davening. Do you have any advice how maybe you can partner with me? Do you have any advice on how to better have kavana during davening? Because even I struggle with that. What are your thoughts? So that way he created a partnership with his students, and they felt that he wasn't just being critical of them. He felt that, oh, this is a project that everyone struggles with. That's perhaps another method. If you see someone is struggling with an issue, you can maybe perhaps ask them for advice. You can even say, you know, you yourself are looking to grow in this area. What do they think? That's sometimes the best way to go about this. Sometimes the best way to rebuke is, again, indirectly, sometimes with a joke. Sometimes the best way to do it is in stages. Famous story of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter in the Sefer called Tenuas HaMusar. So Rabbi Yisrael Salanter was visiting a city in Germany, and the Jewish stores were open on Shabbos, and the merchants, they went to shul, but then they did work on Shabbos. And when he first greeted, let's say, these merchants who were working at the docks, and they were loading and unloading, and they're doing business on Shabbos. They do daven, and they do business on Shabbos. So step one, he began to preach in shul, and he explained to the merchants the value of Shabbos in their style, according to their spirit. And then he said, listen, I understand that you have to deal with the freight that comes on Shabbos, on the dock that comes to the port on Shabbos. So that might be necessary, but writing is unnecessary. So the merchants accepted what he said and agreed not to write. A little while later, he delivered another drasha in the shul, where the merchants were, saying that unloading the merchandise on Shabbos may be necessary, but loading their merchandise on Shabbos is certainly not necessary. So the merchants accepted this as well. Later, he arrived once again, and he thought that unloading should also not be allowed. And this way, he influenced the community step by step till he did a major change. He really had made a major impact on this community, Memel, and other communities, because his form of tochacha, his method was step by step. So we've spoken about, in terms of the method, you have to know the person. Different people react differently. Try to avoid embarrassing if at all possible. Try to maybe focus on the good if at all possible. Maybe you can create like a partnership with the person. We're going to solve this problem together. Maybe you can rebuke indirectly. View the person who you're trying to influence as your Rebbe, and that way speak much softer. And sometimes you have to rebuke in stages like Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. What about when we shouldn't rebuke? So the Gemara in Erech in Daf Tes Amud Beis tells us three different opinions as to what the limits of rebuke. One opinion is you should rebuke the person until the listener is about to hit you. Another opinion is until the person is about to curse you. And a third opinion is until the person is about to reprimand you. And the Ramah only gives two of the three opinions. He says that you should rebuke someone until he's about to hit you or curse you. The Mishnah Berurah says, no, it's enough until the person's about to reprimand you. Now, the Rav Moshe Feinstein is a tshuva on Chelek Hei, Siman Yud Gimel, where he basically says that if by rebuking someone, you know that the person is going to get upset at you and you might lose your job, or you might then it might cost you financially. So he says, Hefsin Mamon, Halohu Gara Minazifa. So just like you're not required to rebuke someone if the person's going to reprimand you, so losing money is worse than being reprimanded, and therefore he says, "In ain alav chiyuv behefsen mamon." You don't have to lose money if it through your tochacha. So if you feel that by rebuking someone it's going to cost you your job, potential loss of money, then there's no requirement to rebuke someone. There, the Gemara in Be'ah Daf Lamed and Aleph has a line of Hanach lahem liyisrael mutav shiyushogem al yinu mezidim, that if people are committing, someone's committing a sin unintentionally, and you're convinced that they're not going to listen, so then better that they sin unintentionally and that they shouldn't sin intentionally. In other words, if you're convinced that they're really not going to listen, then by rebuking them, and by, again, there's always a, you never know, but if you really believe they're not going to listen, then by telling them what they're doing is wrong, you're going to worse make the situation worse for them, because before they're sinning unintentionally. Now, once you tell them, they're going to be sinning intentionally. And again, if there's a possibility they're going to listen, so then this may not apply. Also, the Ramah writes, if it's like an explicit sin in the Torah, then also you would that this rule wouldn't apply, because you can't really say they're b'shogeg if something's explicit in the Torah. This is in Or Chaim, the Ramon, Siman Tafresh Ches Saif Beis. The Divrei Yatziv thinks that also the principle of Mutav Shiyushogim would not apply for if you're trying to save someone else. In other words, let's say someone's committing a sin. Let's say he doesn't know that muksa is wrong, the moving muksa is wrong, and he's not, you know, he's not going to listen to you. So then, mutav shiyushogim, let him sin unintentionally rather than sin intentionally. But let's say a person is causing pain to someone. He's being extremely insensitive to someone else. He doesn't realize that it's wrong, and you believe he's, you know, there's a good chance he's not going to listen or he's harming someone. If someone is suffering because of what this other person is doing, you know, your friend doesn't realize he is causing financial harm to someone or he's causing emotional harm to someone. Do you say mutav shiyushogim? No. The Divrei Yatziv says, the Sanzer says, this is in Siman Kuf Yud Gimel, he says that Doesn't make sense that there's a prohibition to rebuke a thief because he's not going to accept tochacha. The victim. So obviously, if you're trying to save, someone else, then you would be allowed to rebuke someone so that he is not harming someone else. So the principle of mutar shogim would not apply in that instance. There's also a discussion if you're speaking to a lot of people, and some people will listen, some people won't listen. So the Shaar Tzion and Siman Tav Reish Ches Sif Katan Gimel, he says you go by the majority. He says the Nir Elisha Zed Hadavar Lo Nemar Ela Bishin Yisrabu Har Bishog Badavar. If a lot of people are sitting unintentionally, and they won't listen. Avo Badavar Shrak Miutim Shogim Mitzar Limchos Biyadim. But if only let's say that only a few people are sinning unintentionally, but a lot of people are sinning intentionally, right? So then mitzvah limchos b'yom. So you're allowed to rebuke a group of people if most of the people are sinning intentionally and only a small number are sinning unintentionally. And Rav Moshe has a different case where he says like this. He says, let's say you're a rabbi of a shul, and the question is, are you allowed to, or should you announce before? This is his case in Or Chaim Chelik Beis Siman Lamed Vav. His case is V'davar LaHachris Kodem Tkiyos SheAsher LaHafsik B'Dibur Ad Achar Tkiyos Demuman Beis Knesset. So, are you allowed to announce before shofar blowing? You're not allowed to talk till after the Tkiyos. So he says that many people are not going to listen. So maybe you say Mutav Shu Shogigin. So the Rav Moshe says, what do you mean? Then if you think about that, then no one's ever going to know halacha because mutav shiyu shogigim. Can't be. It can't be. He says that, first of all, he says when it's not clear that they're not going to listen, when it's possible they will listen, you're certainly obligated to tell them, to protest, and to tell them what they're doing is wrong. And certainly you should teach them not bishas maisa, not in the time when they're about to commit the sin. You definitely should do that. And he says more than that, that if someone comes to learn, you're certainly allowed to teach them what the halacha is, because they're coming to learn. What's the whole point? The whole point is that if they're not asking you, so then you shouldn't rebuke them if they're sinning unintentionally. But then in this particular case, where people, let's say in shul, some people will listen, some people won't listen. Moshe Feinstein says, in a shul, or even though it's possible, right, he says that in a shul, since there are some people who don't know that you're not allowed to talk, and if you make a public announcement, you get up and you say, you're not allowed to talk till after the tekios, and it's possible that some people will listen, even if a lot of people won't. As long as some people might listen, Moshe Feinstein says, then you are allowed to make the announcement. Then, or no more than that, you should make the announcement. He says, if it's known that nobody's going to listen to you, then you're like, look, what's this rabbi talking about? Then you don't have to say anything. So the principle of mutar shishogi v'ayum mezidim, it's better not to say anything. So that's with the individual. If you have a group of people and you believe that some people will listen, or there's a good chance some people will listen, then you should say something. Now, the Gemara in Yevamos Samachem and Beis does say that just like there's a mitzvah to say something that will be heard, so too the mitzvah not to say something that will not be heard. So what's this referring to? So the Rama understands, based on the Muki Yosef, that this is talking about Barabim, that if there are a lot of people, then you don't have to keep on rebuking them. And the Mishnah Berurah says, again, it's all based on the Muki Yosef. The Rama says this, that it's based on the Muki Yosef, that if there's a group of people and they're sinning intentionally, then you should say something once, but not more than once. Why? Because if you don't say anything, then they're going to think that it's okay. Let's say, for example, I don't know, you see that there are a bunch of people going out during Haftorah to have a Kiddush at a Kiddush club. So imagine, you say they're not going to listen to you at all. They're going to keep on having that Kiddush club. But imagine if you walk by, you don't say anything. So they're going to come back to you and they say, Rabbi, you never said anything. We thought it was okay. So you might have to say it once, saying, listen, I don't think it's the right thing to do. I don't think you should do that. At least they, even if they're not going to listen. So you don't have to keep on telling them that it's wrong, necessarily. You tell them once. And then at least they know that this is your opinion. You feel strongly about it. So you don't have a claim. They don't have to say, oh, you didn't say anything. So what emerges from here is that when are you not required to rebuke someone? So if someone's sitting intentionally, an individual, then you should do it until the person's about to reprimand you, but you don't have to lose money for it. If someone's sitting unintentionally, they didn't realize what they're doing is wrong, then if you know they're not going to listen, don't say anything. But if it's a group of people and you think some people will listen, then you should say something. And if there's a group of people that's sitting and they're sitting intentionally, so then say something once. So no one can make a claim afterwards that you knew and you didn't say anything. What about your average non-from person? You know someone, people's non-from, they're driving on Shabbos. You have to keep on rebuking the person till they're about to reprimand you. So the Be'er Halacha in Siman Tafresh Chesif Bey says, he says that the Torah says, Hocheach tochich es amisecha. So that's, it says that, what's amisecha? Amisecha refers to someone who is, quote unquote, your halachic friend, someone who is your friend in Torah and mitzvah. So someone who's, let's say, Machal Shabbos for Hesya, someone who publicly violates Shabbos is not considered amisecha. Of course, he's a Jew and he's part of the Jewish community, Jewish nation. But with regard to the mitzvah of tochacha, he's not in the parsha. Tochacha is only someone who is potentially willing to listen to your tochacha. Someone who's publicly violates Shabbos is not called amisecha. He's not with you in Torah and mitzvah, so you have no requirement of tochacha. That being said, even though there might not be a mitzvah of tochacha when it comes to someone who's not from, it doesn't mean that therefore you have no responsibility or no obligation at all, or there's no mitzvah at all to try to be makar of non-from Jews. Maybe there's no mitzvah of tochacha. But still, if you have the opportunity to influence someone who's not from to come close to a Kaddish Baruch Hu, you still fulfill a mitzvah. Some will say you fulfill the mitzvah of lo samon adam riacha. What's lo samon adam riacha? You shouldn't stand idly by when your friend's about to be harmed. So if that's true, physical harm, certainly spiritual harm. You want to help someone spiritually. Some want to say maybe it's Hashabbos Aveda. But just like there's a mitzvah to return a Jew's lost object, certainly to return his soul, as it were, then that you'd certainly fulfill a mitzvah there. That's how the Or HaChaim speaks about that. You're returning a lost soul to your Father in heaven, but only if he's interested. If he's not interested, then maybe you're not required to do this. There's also a Rambam in the Sefer Mitzvos, Mitzvahs Aseh Gimel, the third mitzvah. The Torah says, V'ahavta es Hashem l'kecha, you should love Hashem your God. Part of the mitzvah of loving Hashem is to also express that love and communicate that love to the masses, like Avram Avinu, whom the Torah says v'esa nefesher also b'charan, that Avram loved Hashem so much that he shared it with other people and he converted other people to ethical monotheism. So even though there might not be a technical mitzvah of tochacha, there seems to be a mitzvah, an obligation, maybe under some circumstances, to try to spread Torah and mitzvos to the masses. So just to conclude, the key when it comes to influencing others from a Torah perspective is to do so out of love. If a person thinks that you're doing it for his best interest, you're more likely to be successful. You want to create a culture of listening so that hopefully the person will listen to what you have to say. You need to work on your own behavior so that you're beyond reproach to the extent possible. So also more likely that the person will listen to you. Try to avoid embarrassing the person. Know the person in terms of how to rebuke, what's the right way to do so. You may need to make a joke, use a mashal, say we're partnering with him, we're working on this mita together. Try to focus on the good. And there are lots of limitations. Better that the person sinned unintentionally, but and the other limitations we've spoken about, but if you have the personality to influence, and to communicate with others, you can, even though it's sometimes hard and it's difficult, but if you have the right personality to be able to influence others, you can do so much to help others and society around you. It's a very challenging mitzvah, but if it's done right, it's a very important mitzvah.